This video is brought to you by ZocDoc, Loud Evil and Quiet Evil. When Loud Evil is threatened, it reacts like this. Quiet Evil reacts like this.
Take your Jedi weapon. I am unarmed. Strike me down with it.
Loud Evil will do anything to escape capture. Quiet Evil gets threatened with rotting away in a dungeon for years, for decades.
Patience is a product of age, both of which I possess in abundance.
Loud Evil shouts at you and screams at you. Quiet Evil whispers in your ear.
See, he wants it for himself.
Loud Evil is powerful. Quiet Evil is weak and celebrates your power.
Good.
Your hate has made you powerful.
Incredible. What I wouldn't give to glimpse the world through your eyes, to know what you know.
Here is the situation. Sometimes you can write a villain that is strong and scary and has every evil trait on the evil trait list, and it works and it's intimidating and it's tough and it's domineering, and it's everything we want in a villain. And sometimes you make a villain menacing and strong and full of evil, scary feelings, and it's Kylo Ren throwing a tantrum, or Thunder doing this.
I don't think he's gonna stop!
Sometimes strength and hatred and anger and power and aggression just don't cut it. It doesn't come across right, or it doesn't fit your story, or it doesn't tell the story you want. Whatever it is, it just doesn't work. And in that case, there's something else you can do with your villains. And this can either be a direction you take an existing villain, or it can be an entire villain archetype on its own. I'm going to talk about the archetype in this video, but it's really just another avenue of evil that almost any antagonist can explore. And I'm calling this Quiet Evil. And the three main examples we're going to deal with are Palpatine from Star Wars, Singe from Arcane, and Gollum/Sméagol from Lord of the Rings. And one of the reasons why these characters are such great examples is because they have counterparts in their stories who largely do partake of the Loud Evil archetype. And I'm talking about Darth Vader and Bessa Medarda and Sauron Tords. All three of these are great in their antagonistic roles. They are terrifying, they are tough, they are strong. So tough and strong that it feels like the threat they represent is insurmountable, inevitable, invincible. Who could possibly defeat them? But we need to defeat them because what they stand for, the cause they fight for, is abhorrent to us. So in light of that, it's really, really odd looking at a character like Singed, who is terrifying, or maybe terrifying is not the right word. He's unsettling, but he's not tough at all. He's not strong at all. He himself does not pose a threat for much of the story. And I'm saying that on a character-to-character basis. I'm also saying that on a plot level, he's doing something entirely separate from the plot all on his own. It has no direct connection to anything else going on in the story. And maybe there would have been reason to fight him and take him out earlier. But now, at this point in the story, there is no reason to fight him. The part he played in the conflict is done. It's out of his hands. And what he's stands for, well, it's not like entirely abhorrent. It's actually kind of intriguing. That is what is at the heart of Quiet Evil. There are some pretty horrifying things a traditionally evil character can say to you. They can threaten you, they can shock you with their extreme lack of morals, their evil designs and intentions. They can say just the most straight up weirdo creepy shit.
I can see your soul at the edges of your eyes.
But the idea Quiet Evil is based on is that the most terrifying thing an evil character can say to you is something that, to your horror, you realize you agree with. Loud Evil opposes you and everything you are. It stands in your way, it threatens to destroy you. Quiet Evil scares you at first. It certainly seems like it opposes you and stands in your way, etc. But it doesn't pose a threat to you. It might even refuse to do so. There might be some frustrating reasons to keep it alive. And meanwhile, it talks to you innocently at first. And this whole time, you know where you stand, and it's firmly on the side of good. And this person is not good, but the things that they're saying...
She's dying. I'm attempting to prevent that.
How can you really disagree with that?
Can I help?
And it's really, truly unsettling when they say what they want, and it just so happens to be that it's exactly what you want.
Take your weapon. Strike me down with all of your hatred.
But, I mean, they're one of the bad guys, right? So why am I hanging on their every word? Why do I want to do exactly what they say? Loud Evil threatens you externally. Quiet Evil threatens you internally. It makes you afraid of what you're becoming. And that's due to the story itself, the events of the journey so far, when you went into this plot, when you left Tatooine, when you got a job at the Academy. At that point, you know exactly what kind of person you are. And you like that version of yourself, or maybe the version of yourself after you developed a little bit, and you had no plans to change that. But then along came a little thing called the story. And it put all kinds of pressure on you that you weren't used to, and it hurt you, and it confused you, and it traumatized you, and it took stuff away from you, it took people away from you, and it left you lost and desperate. Because you thought what you were was good, or good enough at least, good enough to win the plot, and now the story is telling you really harshly, no, you're not good enough. You cannot stop the thing you need to stop. You can't do what the plot demands of you, not in the way you wanted at least. Or maybe things just got more complicated, and you wouldn't entertain the possibility of change before, but the situation is different now, it's dire. And you have to look at all the options, even the ones the old you had dismissed. And now, there's this guy offering you an option, and it's one that somehow sounds like it's better than anything you've heard so far. And you used to see this person as a bad guy, but so much has changed since then, you've changed. You've actually changed so much that you don't entirely trust that old you. You don't trust the you who made that bad guy evaluation in the first place. And in fact, maybe the only reason why you couldn't solve your problem earlier was because that naive old you prejudice was standing in the way of seeing what you clearly needed to do. Loud evil makes progress towards plot goals feel impossibly hard. Quiet evil makes progress towards plot goals seem impossibly easy. Just give in. It's right here. Just take it. In fact, you could even say it like this. Loud evil is an antagonist. It stands against us. Quiet evil is an ally. It's an evil ally, and maybe they're just acting like an ally, but functionally, at this odd, desperate, maybe singular point in the story, they are on your side. Their interests, their goals, are allied with yours. And because of that, we take so many of the villain characteristics and literally reverse them. What do we normally do when we want a character to be seen as an ally? We make them non-threatening to you.
I am defenseless.
We make them sympathetic. We give them ways of relating to our main characters.
We can be loners together.
We'll also give them ways of helping our protagonists.
You know the way to Mordor.
Yes.
And we make them deeply aligned on some level, an unexpected level, with our main characters.
Why? Why do all this?
Why does anyone commit acts others deem unspeakable? For love.
What the aim is here is for us to have a shallow assessment of this character as untrustworthy and wicked and other. They probably look like a bad guy. Maybe we see them do things that look really bad at first glance, and they just seem nothing like us. But at some point, maybe once they say something we agree with, we think, what were the reasons to not listen to this person again? What reason is there to not strike down Emperor Palpatine? What reason is there to not take Shimmer? Why exactly did I decide not to trust this guy again? Because maybe in the past he did things that looked bad, but when I look at them again now that I've changed, I gotta admit,
I understand now.
And before we know it, the unthinkable is happening. We are starting to transform before our very eyes. Once we give in to what we know we shouldn't have given into, we see ourselves becoming evil. Before we can stop ourselves, we do something we regret, and it's gut-wrenching for the audience. Because we had fully identified with the main character at the start of all this, and then we had to watch them start down this fateful road towards this outcome, and watching their story unfold and being unable to stop it is kind of exactly how it feels for them, watching them unable to stop themselves from becoming this thing that they became. And maybe, usually, there's another antagonist here, and that's the one we're trying to defeat. Maybe we're doing this whole thing to try and defeat them, but what quiet evil highlights is that if in the process of defeating that evil, we become that evil, how is that any different from failing in the first place? If we're the new evil, then we've lost just as badly. And even if we don't feel afraid of these quiet villains per se, the realization we're in danger of becoming them hits a much deeper fear. It's a fundamentally different kind of dread that shakes us to our core. Okay, so if we're really going to understand how to write this well, we need to talk about some variations that are already kind of coming into focus in discussing these different examples. And do you know what else has a bunch of different variations? The ad segues in my videos. Every single one of them is, wow, it's so different. Okay, ad time. Hi, so as many of you know if you watch my channel for a while, I live a very, very mobile lifestyle. And when I was in Japan running around doing stuff for the Miyazaki videos, I had a little health scare. And it was particularly scary because I was in a foreign country for 6 weeks, and even once I got back to the US, I wouldn't be coming back to my home city. So I needed to book an appointment ASAP in a random US city, and the online platform that ended up being perfect for that was ZocDoc, who was the sponsor of this video. ZocDoc is a free website website where you can search and compare high-quality, in-network doctors, choose the right one for your needs, and click to instantly book an appointment. From primary care to dentistry, eye care, skin care, and nearly everything in between, ZocDoc makes it easy to book in-network appointments with more than 100,000 healthcare providers. With ZocDoc, you can filter out doctors by insurance, location, and specialties, and see reviews by verified patients so you can choose the best, most convenient care for you. I was able to look through tons of different professionals in the area where I would be staying. I could see all their availability, and reading through reviews, I ended up choosing someone who was a little bit further away, but who had great comments about bedside manner. I generally really freak out when it comes to medical stuff, so I knew that for my own health anxiety, I needed someone who was like really, really compassionate and really patient with all my questions, so that was perfect. ZocDoc also helps you get appointments fast, typically within just 24 to 72 hours of booking, and you can even score same-day appointments. And if you're like me and you don't like phone calls, no need to call doctor's offices and be left on hold forever. ZocDoc lets you do everything online. And the whole thing worked out, by the way. I came back from Japan, I had my appointment right away, took care of the problem, minimal anxiety. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/schnee, also linked in the description, to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. Okay, back to the video.
Okay, so variations in Quiet Evil, we gotta sort this out, because Singe is quite different from Gollum, who is very, very different from Palpatine, especially in this manner of being presented with ally qualities, or maybe it's more accurate to say as lacking crucial antagonist qualities. All three are presented as physically not very threatening in some prominent way. With Singe, that's valid, it's true, at no point does he pose any threat of actual bodily harm to us. With Palpatine, it's more of an outright lie. He looks weak, but he can shoot lightning out of his fingers, so he is extremely physically threatening. Gollum, it's a mix. By human standards, he seems pretty weak, and that is true, but by Hobbit standards, he's an even match. And we kind of forget that until we see him fighting and remember that Frodo and Sam are also pretty weak. And that's kind of all that matters in terms of the threat that this villain poses. And what we do see with all these characters is that the external threats that they do pose, those are never active when they're in Quiet Evil mode. When they are whispering to us and influencing us and corrupting us, that's when they seem physically weakest. And then once the story kind of allows us to acknowledge that, no, these are enemies, then the external threat they pose measures up more to the internal threats they pose, almost like an acknowledgement or a reflection of it. Another area where we see differences between these three examples is with trustworthiness. Singe stays at the same level of ambiguous trustworthiness throughout the whole story, and when characters are listening to him, it's not because they trust him, it's because they respect his intelligence. And then Palpatine is at no point truly trustworthy or sympathetic at all. And it's also not like Singe, we don't see him as an intellectual authority, we don't see him as wise particularly, but the way it works with him is that in the moment, it's terrifying that so much of what he says sounds like stuff that we agree with. He just keeps saying these things we want to hear mixed with things that we don't want to hear. It's strike me down in one breath and then dark side stuff in the next breath. So circumstantially, we end up agreeing with too much for us to feel comfortable about it, and that scares us. And then Gollum is granted a legitimate reason to start being trusted again. We see that with the revival of Sméagol, and we wonder if that's going to win out, even though it kind of gets corrupted at some point. But with Gollum, we also understand why Frodo starts to be more sympathetic to him, and that has to do with another difference, which is identification. All three of these antagonists are designed to feel like the other in some way, or actually it's mostly in the same prominent way through their disturbing physical appearance. But that starting point leads to three different paths for these three characters. Gollum feels nothing like us at first, and then that identification grows, both from his side and from Frodo's side as he becomes more like Gollum, and as we sympathize more with Frodo, we sympathize more with Gollum, so we start to see him as more relatable and identifiable also. And then Singe is just a creepy old scientist guy, and we don't feel any relatability there. But then once Piltover is kind of kicking us aside the road to die, like the worthless undercity trash that we are, once our life's work gets scary enough to horrify our friends, we realize that those differences were superficial, but more importantly, we don't identify with him directly. We see a different character that we did trust in him.
It's why I parted ways with Heimerdinger.
And we kind of have this transference of trust and authority onto him, which is a really unique thing they do with a mentor role here. And then Palpatine is also fascinating in a similar way. He is intended to always be firmly other. There's never any identification with him, but there is supposed to be identification with Vader. Vader is very much like us. And as much as that is meant to horrify us at a certain point in the story, the whole challenge of the Star Wars story is to engage with that discomfort and make peace with it. And then instead of the identification acting as a warning signal that we're going down the wrong path and becoming like the villain, the resolution is that the identification causes the villain to go down the good path and become like us. And what we became in this situation is kind of a quiet good. So the whole thing is turned on its head, it's brilliant. And on the topic of Vader, I think when you see a lot of times with this type of antagonist, like I mentioned previously, is a second antagonist or multiple antagonists. And that way we can have our louder villains too. We can have Vader there to threaten us and fight us. We can have hordes of orcs to go to war with. We can have Sokol making the plot an intense, complex political drama. And the way that louder evil interacts is that as we're fighting that's what pushes us to become what we don't want to become, what we dread becoming. But then it's worth discussing too at this point that there's a lot of fluidity within villains as well. Like we said before, the quiet and loud thing can be general archetypes, or they can be modes antagonists move into at certain parts of the story, or represent in different aspects. Singe is a quiet villain and operates that way for a lot of the story, but then with Warwick he takes on more of a plot antagonist role, and similarly when he teams up with Ambessa and Kate and Victor. To use another arcane villain example, Sukko is a loud antagonist when it comes to the Piltover Zaun plot, but then he takes on more of a quiet evil role when it comes to Jinx. And just on a side note with regard to arcane specifically, you can see how quiet evil plays such an effective role in stories that are about gray morality and have a lot of gray characters, stories that question morality instead of giving a black and white answer. But moving on, Palpatine is practically the leader of the Empire, so he is responsible for all the loud plot stuff, but then in this specific situation, at the climax with Luke and with Vader here as a prop, at that distinct point he slips into quiet evil mode. Sauron is very similar, he's the one who's technically at the head of these wars, he's the one who's sending out the hordes and the ring race, etc. But then, through the ring specifically, he is the quiet evil. And totally different example, Voldemort is mostly loud, but every so often we see him taking quieter avenues, like with Tom Riddle's diary, or in this scene in the fifth movie where he is specifically susceptible to the internal corruption of quiet evil.
She deserves it. You know the spell, Harry. Do it!
So in conclusion, to sum up, what I love about these villains so much, and specifically this kind of quiet evil, I know when people hear the term, they probably think about like mastermind characters, and that's its own kind of quiet evil, separate discussion. But this type of quiet evil, these paragons of corruption, truly bring a new kind of depth to the stories they're in. It's a multi-dimensionality in the character's journey that as we get closer to defeating evil in a plot sense, we get closer to being defeated by evil in a character sense, losing to evil by becoming evil, because we can't just care about what we do, we also have to care about what we are. And after encountering these villains and doing things we regret and changing ways we don't want to, what all this pushes us to do is to turn away from them and to find a virtuous way to win the plot instead. Okay, we will stop here. Subscribe this coming Sunday, November 23rd at noon Pacific time. I'm going to be doing a live stream celebrating the 4th anniversary of my YouTube channel. Thank you guys so much for being here with me for 4 years on this journey. I'm going to be making some exciting channel announcements, and I also bought myself a fun Spider-Verse related gift that I'll be using the time to share with you all. But yeah, I released that first ever Arcane analysis video on the Jinx Echo fight like a day or so after the Arcane Season 1 finale released, so it has been 4 long years. And if you guys also have some questions for me, we'll also do some Q&A. But yeah, I hope to see you all there November 23rd, noon Pacific. If you enjoy the content, consider supporting the channel like all the fine people you see here. Links in the cards in the description. Shoutouts to everyone who likes, comments, subscribes, and donates through Patreon or what have you. Your support is what allows me to continue bringing you all along on this educational journey that we are all on to grow our understanding of art and writing and storytelling. Anyway, that is all I got for now. Hope you all like this video, and thanks for watching.